Welcome to Just Ask, the podcast of the Hive Collective, a digital health platform built to empower women to make educated and informed decisions about their health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heather Quayle, a leading women's and gender-related nurse practitioner. We provide answers to the questions you may not know how to ask by interviewing experts in nursing, medicine, sexual health, and wellness. We started in 2020 with myself and colleague Dr. Tara Thompson, pharmacist, and now welcome our co-host and leading women's health expert and nurse practitioner, Jackie Piasta. This is a safe space where no question is off limits, and we advocate and encourage listeners to just ask their most intimate questions and to break down the barriers of embarrassment and taboo.
I'm Jackie Piasta, your other co-host and fellow Queen Bee of the Hive. Each month, we bring on a new guest that is an expert and healthcare innovator in their respective field. As the healthcare landscape rapidly evolves, we are excited to be on the cutting edge and have decided to evolve the podcast into the Hive Collective, a space that seeks to equip you to better navigate your health journey. To learn more about our new and exciting platform, check out our mission, vision, values, and initiatives as we discuss our rebrand in Season 4, Episode 1. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're excited you're here and hope you enjoy our show.
Hello and welcome to Just Ask, a platform for all of your sexual health and medicine questions. My name is Tara Thompson. I'm a pharmacist, sexual health pharmacist. I'm here with my wonderful colleague, Dr. Heather Quayle, who is a nurse practitioner and a women's health nurse practitioner and a sexual assault nurse examiner. So we are here today so excited for our very special guest that I'll let Heather introduce. But before we get started, I just wanted to say hello to all of our listeners and our viewers, and thank you so much for joining us back here today. We have a really, really amazing show, really, really awesome guest who you guys are going to just absolutely love. I wanted to go a little bit into Just Ask for those of you who don't know us. We are a healthcare platform dedicated to providing evidence-based information by a multidisciplinary team of sexual health experts in order for individuals to make informed and optimal sexual health decisions and to learn and understand the issues around sexual dysfunction and sexual health. And our vision here at Just Ask is we believe in the creation of a safe and non-judgmental environment around sexual health and wellness for both men and women to engage with experts in this area of medicine and like members of the community on the most intimate topics and questions. So that is us. We designed this platform for you to just ask any questions that you might have about sexual health and medicine or something that you might hear today. We encourage you to ask in the comments and we can get back to you there. Or if you'd like to remain anonymous, feel free to send us a message and we will get back with you that way. But I wanted to turn it over to Heather, my amazing co-founder of the Just Ask platform, and let her introduce our fabulous guest today.
Hi, listeners. Happy April. As Tara said, very passionate about all things sexual health, but my passion project is in the world, as you all know, human trafficking and sexual assault. So no better way to bring in April than to raise some awareness. April is the teal month. It is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Basically what it is it's an annual campaign to raise public awareness about sexual assault and educate communities and individuals on how to prevent sexual violence. It's always observed in April. And being sexual medicine professionals, I think that we don't get enough around trauma and things that happen. We take the sexual dysfunction. Okay, there's a sexual dysfunction, but you really need to take things from a biopsychosocial lens. And oftentimes when you dive into sexual dysfunction, there is trauma. There is a past history of assault, abuse, things of that nature, adverse childhood experiences or ACE scores. And these are some of the things that we're going to dive into a little bit today. So without further ado, I am going to introduce the amazing Sophie Pollock. I just love this girl so, so much. I know her mom because we grew up together in Los Angeles, and it was in our work together in a dermatology office that it sparked my interest in wanting to be a medical provider. And so I've always kept in touch with Sophie's mom and then got to meet her girls, and I've gotten to know Sophie through that through Facebook and Instagram, and I can't wait till I can give you more than just a virtual hug. She's a pretty amazing, awesome human being, and I'm so excited to have her on the show. So without further ado, Sophie is the founder of a grassroots organization called A Path to Courage, and it aids young women who've been victims of sexual assault. As a survivor herself, Sophie knows firsthand the importance of helping women and advocating for justice against violence. She has aspirations to continue social justice work on behalf of women across the globe, and specifically through those that are underserved and neglected. Sophie is focusing on sociology and forensics as she enters her collegiate years. And I'm so, so excited because she's going to really kind of hone in. We get a lot of people who are older. So Sophie really takes it from a college aspect. So without further ado, welcome, Sophie. I'm so excited to have you.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
So let's just dive into it. Tell us about your nonprofit, The Path to Courage. Tell us kind of what started it. I really want our listeners to hear your story. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you and we'll just pop in with some questions in between.
So I initially started A Path to Courage It launched in April of 2020. So during the pandemic, I decided that I wanted to take my initial want to like have an event for Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April. And I decided to like expand that into something a little bit bigger this year. Initially, I created the event, just a one-time event, A Path to Courage. And it was supposed to be in person. But then the pandemic ended up hitting, so I had to move all of it virtually. And I decided since then to make it into a grassroots organization where all the profits go to NSVRC, which is National Sexual Violence Resource Center. Sorry, I don't know why that took me so long to say. But so in my junior year of high school, I went to the Archer School for Girls in Los Angeles, California. So it was an all-girls school. So we had the basis of, you know, like all the rah-rah, like women's health, women's gender identity, sexuality, like all that stuff. We had great education surrounding all of that. But I felt like even for a all-girls school and all girls, like it's middle and high school, so it's 6 through 12. We lacked some education around sexual assault and some also like celebration around it, like around survivors and around individuals who have inspired not only like me and other survivors. I felt that we needed a little more and we needed to add more. So in April of 2019, I had like Archer's first annual Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And only about like 40 people showed up, but my school's really small. So it's like only a total of 500 kids. So I would say it was a pretty good turnout for like during a random free period on a Friday. Like, and I just brought like cupcakes and I had people like ask questions about like, what is Sexual Assault Awareness Month? Like, where could I go to reach out? Or if I know someone who's struggling, like, here's a list of resources. I just felt like providing more of the basics was a necessity before getting into more of like nitty gritty stuff. So that first year was just more of basics and trying to get more just awareness for the survivor community out into my tiny Archer School for Girls community. And hopefully then, obviously I wanted that to like expand beyond, but how like I got into all of this was when I was 13, I was raped at a party and I was drugged. I was roofied. So I kind of like really don't remember any of it. So if you have any questions kind of like surrounding the actual trauma part of it, I really can't answer that. But more of like the after effects is what I tend to try to advocate for, and just how it's like affected me as a person and how I've tried to grow and change from that really horrible experience and make it into something that I'm not only like passionate about, but make it something that can help other people and aid other people. Absolutely. Not just be something that like weighs on my shoulders instead. it also continued, I guess, when I was 15, I was in a abusive relationship, which was also my first relationship, and getting back into, not even getting back into it, like just starting my dating career super young. I was 14, 15. And my first boyfriend actually ended up going to rehab when we were about 16 for heroin. So it was pretty an intense relationship. But I suffered some domestic violence abuse in that relationship because of all the drugs and all that other stuff. I was unfortunately just a witness to it all. Like I didn't participate because that wasn't my thing, and still isn't my thing, obviously. But I watched some people go down some pretty bad paths, and I didn't want to be a part of that. So I kind of was just more of a sideline witness, and instead was just kind of that person that saved everybody else's lives and like took the hit when somebody needed to get sent to rehab or someone needed an intervention. I was the one that got the blame from, you know, family, from their family, their friends, kids my age.
You were the scapegoat.
I was the scapegoat. Yeah. So I took the hit for sending him to rehab because he needed the help. And I thought that he would benefit in the long run. Maybe when he was 30 years old or 40 years old, he'll message me on Facebook and thank me for like saving his life, that kind of thing. So that was mainly my, I would say like that was most of my high school experience, like being a scapegoat for kind of everybody else's issues. And just, I just happened to like attract people that were like wounded and like needed help because I was wounded and I needed help too. So I attracted similar people, but no one wanted to like help me with my issues. So instead I just constantly gave and gave and gave and gave and gave and gave, and no one ever gave me anything in return. So I felt super like
alone.
I felt alone and I felt overused and I felt like just exhausted. Like I was just done. Like I was tired. And I was like 16 years old, 17 years old, like feeling like tired and like depleted with like life. And like, I didn't want to feel that way anymore. So after that relationship, I kind of like took a little break from dating. And I just tried to focus on like myself and, you know, like my academics and like school and being in clubs and like trying to just like be in high school. And it just was.
Did you do some therapy during that time? Just kind of what did that look like as you started getting better for our listeners? Like, I know you said school and clubs, but
therapy. I did also go to therapy.
Where did therapy become involved? Yeah.
I think I started therapy when I was, I started therapy right after, I would say, the assault, but my parents and my therapist like didn't know. So I wasn't like vocal about it until I was about 16 years old. So like my therapist like never knew.
So you did therapy for a couple years before you ever talked about
I did therapy for like other issues, just not the one I definitely like needed to go to therapy for. I kind of just walked around the issues like in figure eights, like dancing around it, just trying not to like get the trauma therapy and like get the help that I like wanted and like needed. I just didn't know how to like go about it. So I kind of just like kept my mouth shut about it. And I went to therapy, and I mainly went to therapy for like, I had trouble making friends because I wasn't like super outgoing, or like my all-girl school setting just wasn't really for me. So I struggled to connect with some of the girls, and I like took it really personally. So I had a lot of issues with like confidence and like self-worth and like loving myself. So my parents decided that I should like go to therapy. So I went mainly for like social interaction, anxiety, depression, you know, like kind of like the normal things that a teenager should go to therapy for. And I would say it was pretty helpful. It was like a good distraction, I guess. I liked going to therapy because I still love going to therapy, but because it gives me something to do. Like, if that makes sense.
It's cathartic in a lot of ways to just be able to tell a non-biased person, I'm hurting, or I hate this person, or I'm struggling, or I don't love myself, or I had a really crap day, or I had a great day. I made a friend today. And it's nice to kind of take that outside of having to tell your parents or having to tell your friends. And
yeah, or trying to write it down in a diary. Like, it's just easier to just vocalize it. Cause I love writing, but I like creative writing. I don't like having to write, I made a friend today, or like something small like that. Or like, I really didn't feel good today. Like, I would rather like say that out loud than, so it's kind of like a human diary in a sense. And I also like love scheduling. That's something that really like kept me on a T, is I have to, like, because of all my anxiety surrounding, like, I guess my trauma and everything else, like, I have to schedule. So having like therapy, like on a set day and a set time, like really eased my anxiety going through high school, because I knew I had to do the same thing every single day of like the week, you know? So it just was super calming in a way, knowing that I like had this to go to the same person and do the same thing every week, which I like the consistency of.
Yep.
So
and explore like that part of I would say
you, like, may have just cut out a little bit. Did it cut? Say again that last sentence. It cut on my end. Maybe it didn't cut in the thing.
Can you hear now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry. I think my AirPod died. That's probably why. Yeah, just therapy is super helpful, was super helpful for me throughout high school. And just again, like having that sense of consistency and that sense of a schedule really allowed me to be able to just like keep my mind straight and like keep my head on.
I think that's important too for our listeners to hear, because I think there's so much stigma that goes around therapy and getting self-help. There's also a stigma that goes around taking medication or things if there's a chemical imbalance. And part of what I like to talk about in these type of platforms is really breaking down the stigma. I mean, sexual health, sexual dysfunction, sexual assault, as you know, it's all so taboo. Nobody talks about it. And good God, no one talks about mental health. So why would we talk about sexual health, you know? And I think it's so important, especially for college kids and kids in high school, to kind of hear the raw truth of, you know, I didn't feel good in my own skin, and that I went to therapy and it has helped and it's a good thing.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I still go to therapy and it's like a great thing. I love it. I love my therapist. I think she's like the coolest person in the world. I just happened to be, I don't know if I was really lucky or if I just like had a great match like to begin with, but I love my
one you stayed with the whole time, that you stayed with her and then you kind of talked to her about this the assault history, or did you kind of jump around a little bit?
So the funny thing is I had one therapist and then she went on medical leave for her own health and her stuff, and then I had an interim who, like, they talked and like she was trained to take over all of her patients, and I happened to actually mesh with her interim a little better than her. So it happened, it ended up being a good thing, but that was the only time I like switched therapists,
which is great.
Yeah.
You mentioned a little bit about like you can't speak to the actual trauma in the moment, but you can speak to the aftermath. Are you comfortable kind of diving in a little bit about the aftermath and what that looks like, so that college kids especially, where there is a lot of alcohol and drugs and drinking, may also be put in the exact same situation, but I want to know what the red flags of an aftermath look like and what people should be cautious for, and how we can almost be, if you can, in some ways preventative, or to get more around this so that there is support groups to help, or to, you know, where I'm going with this.
Yeah, of course. Phrase this in a accurate way, but I would say, because I was so young and like I wasn't necessarily like in college, I didn't really find the outlet of like drugs and drinking. I mean, like a little bit, but I was like experimenting, so I wasn't like, because obviously I still lived at home and I wasn't like in a college environment, I wasn't able to like just go to a frat party and like drink, like if I wanted to, like most normal teenagers do these days, or like most normal college students. I think that like for me, my depression was like a big sign of me, of like the aftermath. I just like could not get out of bed some days. I just like wanted to lie there, and I would always fake being sick from school. So my absence record was like through the roof, literally all throughout my high school career. Not only because I like didn't get along with the girls, but I also just like couldn't get out of bed and like was struggling so bad that I would like fake being sick from school and like tell my parents I like didn't feel well so I could just like skip a day and like have an extra day to just like lie down and like not move. I also like really realized that I have really bad anxiety. And that was something that I didn't notice until about like 16 or 17. So it didn't really come until later, in all honesty. Like my abuse happened at like 13, 14. And then I didn't really like notice my anxiety until after. It was more of just, sorry, my dog's growling. It was more of just that my anxiety came out in like weird ways. Like,
yep.
Let me just let her one second. Sorry.
You know, I was thinking too, like while she's doing that, this is also kind of a really good, I was thinking of it from like a younger person's perspective watching this webinar, listening to this podcast, but also from a parent's perspective who might have a high school or college age child and just sort of reading those signs that Sophie's talking about, excessive absences, lying in bed, can't get up, no motivation to do anything, no energy. What is that? Is there something underlying with your child or the, you know, your younger sibling or your cousin that you, right, you're seeing, but what do you do about it? Do you approach them? Do you talk about it? Do you just let them know this is a safe space? Like Sophie, did you want somebody to talk to, or were you just internalizing it all? And then like from a parent's perspective, I know Heather, maybe you can speak to, do you try to pull out what's wrong? Do you have them seek help? Like, hey, if you don't want to talk to me as your mom or as your caregiver, I'm going to let you talk to somebody else so that I don't have to know and it's confidential. I mean, how do you approach that? So I'm kind of thinking that through as Sophie was talking, just another interesting perspective.
Absolutely. Were you waiting for someone to kind of say, oh my gosh, what's wrong? And would you have even been in a place where you could have even told them?
Probably not in a place where I could have told them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like really wasn't ready to deal with like what that meant, mm-hmm, for my family and what that meant for myself. So like I did have a therapist, but I guess I also like wasn't comfortable telling my therapist because I didn't know what that meant for my confidentiality.
Yep.
I was also a minor, so like no matter what I said, mm-hmm, I was mandatorily reported. So when I ended up telling my mom for the first time, my mom told all my like team of therapists, because we also have a family therapist as well, who's like the head of the company. So she like oversees my therapist, so she also knows everything that's going on. And I would say this was more traumatic, in my opinion, than the actual like thing that caused the trauma, because I was like, I can't remember that, but I so vividly remember like the police showing up to my high school to question me and everyone saying that I was getting arrested and everyone telling me that she got busted for possession, right? Like, nobody actually knew what was happening, but all the rumors were like so detrimental to like my high school career that I just like literally couldn't survive.
Yep. Unfortunately, it's a very vicious cycle, and there are not nice people in the world, and people thrive on other people's heartache. And I guarantee you there were girls at Archer probably going through some of the same stuff you were, And maybe that was their way of dealing with things. And that's kind of what I've learned as a sexual counselor is just how deep trauma is. And a quote that I actually put on my Instagram recently is like, if you don't heal the trauma, you're going to bleed on the people that you don't want to bleed on, that are trying to help you. And yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it is. It was really tough. Like, I remember I got pulled out of my English final, like of all things. I was in the middle of my final. Exactly. In the middle of my sophomore year English final. I got lucky that they didn't just give me a zero, because most like public schools would have just like said, sorry, you left in the middle of your final, like you can't come back to it. Here's a zero. But thankfully they were like nice and my school was like a little willing to work with me. So they gave me like extra time to finish it because of the situation. But I just remember like the school therapist and like the head of school, like walked into my final and like tapped me on the shoulder as everyone's like dead silent, taking their test, just saying like, can you come with me? And everyone like looked at me like, oh my God, she's getting expelled, or oh my God, she got busted, or like something wrong. And
that's probably some anxiety talking there too, knowing that you're thinking, oh my God, what are they saying about me? What are they doing? This all goes very hand in hand.
Oh yeah. So like I started to freak out, and my parents also like weren't there. So like it was the most like inopportune time. Like I wished my mom was there to just like hold my hand, because I was so like nervous. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do.
But it probably made you who you are today. It probably made you forced to be brave. And I know
definitely did. It forced me to be brave, and it forced me to like, just it. I had to just say what I had to say, because like I had to obviously like comply to the officers, but like at the same time, it was time to just like say it and like say what I needed to say and like give them the address of my ex-boyfriend's house and like give them the information of if we're in contact anymore or not, and like all that stuff. I think it was just time to like put that to rest. And so I did. But again, like the aftermath of that situation too, because the cycle just continued, that was even uglier than I would say like the initial one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes dealing with the trauma is really, really hard for a while. And it can be sometimes harder than the trauma, because especially if you've kept it on the back burner for so long and you've had coping mechanisms to push it back down.
Exactly. Also, everybody now like knew, I guess. So it wasn't really in my control of like who would know my quote like secret anymore. And that was like also anxiety inducing, because I didn't know like, oh my God, how would like this get twisted, or how would that get twisted? And like, how would my truth like not become my truth anymore? And that's something that like terrified the crap out of me, because I didn't know if the story of like, oh, like he punched her would turn into, oh, she attacked him, just like in the wrong mouth or in the wrong hands of somebody. It could have like come back to really bite me in the ass. And that's what I was like terrified of also.
Where people come out of the woodwork and they're like, oh my gosh, you've had this horrible situation. I'm sorry, I didn't see it. It's almost like they're trying to rationalize how crappy they've been as a friend or an acquaintance. Right. And that's hard to work.
Right. Yeah. So I guess like after that happened, like my parents, I would say like they did as best as they could for what kind of information I was telling them. And I'll give them that credit. Like they did as best as they could. Because no parents wants to believe that like their child was like raped at a party that like they didn't even know they were at, or like no parent wants to believe that like they let their child go to their boyfriend's house thinking it was an okay relationship just to hear like 2 years later that like he punched her.
Yep.
Like I love
and
my
it's hard for us to get it. Like I get it because I'm a parent. You don't really get it as much because you're not a parent yet, or maybe we'll never be after something like this. And that's okay too. But yeah, we take a lot of guilt on as parents for sure.
Yeah. And of course, like I felt bad for my parents, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm sorry.
You got to work on you.
Right. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry I lied, but like, I'm not sorry for like telling you the truth in the end, you know? And also like the same as like my friendships, I had really, really, really shitty friends in high school. And they like, even into my first year of college this year, like they were even worse than I could like even imagine them being. Just like, they were like, oh my God, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. What can I do for you? Like, so ingenuine and so like insensitive, just like, I'm sorry, I wasn't good enough. Like making it about more of themselves than like, yeah.
I think that helps so much our listeners, especially our older listeners who are parents, to hear that, because I think a lot of kids struggle in high school big time and even into college. And I always even tell my own kids, if your friends are peaking in high school and they're, that's the coolest thing in life, trust me, they probably won't be when they're adults. And so you kind of got to go through some scroungy, awful times to get to where you become who you're supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. And high school was just not that time for me, but unfortunately just everything kind of unfolded out at the same time. Yep. But I mean, that's okay. And then I guess like as I started making and like forming a path to courage, like my parents' support meant like the world to me. And it was like, my dad helped me create my logo, and so did my boyfriend, and like my mom gave her input, and my sister. And it was kind of like a whole kind of like, it was a Pollock family thing, but of course they're like, no, you take credit for it. But I do have to give like my family and my boyfriend a lot of credit for helping me not only like be able to get to the point where I wanted to start my own organization, but also like the logistics of it all and just getting like the strength to be able to like find the inner motivation to like want to continue to like post every day and like,
or every other day. You're so good with it.
I try so hard, and like my boyfriend helps me make all my graphics like still, because I'm not great at computer stuff, and like he is, but I'm good at content. So like we put our brains together.
I'm like Tara and I. I'm always like, what am I gonna put on my Instagram now? Yeah. I'm horrible with, I'm really good with content. It's just coming up with graphics.
Right. Yeah. Coming up with graphics. Like we put our heads together, and now it's kind of become like an us thing instead of just a me thing, which feels like even better because I have like that extra support that I like definitely know I need, and like definitely could not do this without him and like without my family. But
so awesome you started this. So what did it look like coming out from the dredges of awful to kind of like, how do you get to a new relationship again that's healthy? I think that's so important to hear. And how do you get to a place where you're ever able even to have a normal sexual functioning relationship even, because that's terrifying too.
Yeah. So I guess I took some of my coping out in like trying to find the right partner to like have sex with. So like I experimented a little bit, I would say, in high school, and like slept with a bunch of the wrong people and tried to like redefine what sex meant to me through like experimentation. But of course, like that always
normal.
It's normal, but it always like, it for me, I guess like that was the way my brain wanted to go about it, but like it probably wasn't the smartest idea, and usually it's never the smartest idea. But I really wanted,
after this kind of trauma. So
yeah, I just wanted to like, I guess I wanted to feel something again, and I wanted to feel like what it meant to be like loved and what it meant to be like cherished. And like, I thought I would have to find that through sex. And now I realize like that was just so like stupid of me.
Not stupid, just part of the process.
Yeah, it was part of the process. But I would say like my only healthy relationship is the one, like the only thing I can like go off of is the relationship I'm in now. None of my relationships leading up to this one were healthy, like at all. And we started dating over a year ago. And I'm more than happy to say that like we never argue, we never fight. I feel so loved and like so supported in like how I'm supposed to feel in a relationship. And I didn't know what that meant like until I met my current boyfriend. I really relied, like my whole junior year of high school, I was also in a relationship. That relationship was really detrimental to me because I was starting to become more public about my story. And I shared on my Instagram a film that one of my friends in high school made that I narrated, and then she entered it into the film festival. And I was just in a really toxic relationship to where like I felt like my abuse and my trauma was my fault and I should like never feel that way. Right. This one was more of emotional and mental abuse than it was physical abuse. It was just more of like turning my fear of drugs and my fear of like weed into like something terrifying, into something bad. Like I was scared to be around someone on obviously like on a substance. When I was, especially my partner, when I was like in a relationship, I was scared that like, I was scared of my partner being drunk because I was scared they were going to turn around and beat me up. Mm-hmm. So I had to get over that fear, but instead of like him, like being there to support me through it, it was like my fault that I had that fear in the first place.
Yep.
So that's kind of how I felt throughout that. Had
valid fears, very valid fears. And unfortunately drugs and alcohol, and especially high school and college, is way more prevalent than we want to even admit.
Right. Yeah. So I was really, I was just terrified of drugs and alcohol, like kind of at all through my junior year of high school. Like I just didn't want to be a part of it. Like I didn't want to be around it. I would like casually excuse myself and everything was fine, but he would make it into like a huge deal as like, I'm going to sulk, or that I'm in a bad mood and his friends are starting to notice or something. And it's all about like what his friends would think and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When it should have been about like, oh, like you feel uncomfortable, it's okay. You can go take space outside and breathe and all is okay. And like, I'll pat your back if you need, like, do you need water? Anything's like slightly supportive was just completely off the table.
Yep. And sometimes we get to a place where we don't feel we deserve the support or we don't deserve the love. That's also kind of that depreciation of what happens through.
Right. So I guess I also didn't, like you were saying, like, I didn't feel like I deserved it. I also like wasn't receiving it. So I kind of like at the same time, I didn't like feel like I was getting what I deserved, but I just like, I just like didn't know what to do. Like I was just so like stuck. Like I lost 20 pounds in that relationship and I'm initially like really skinny to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I was turning 18 years old and I was 86 pounds, which was detrimental to my health. Like this relationship like literally like killed me. Like it killed my insides, it killed my outsides, like my physical appearance, my mental health, my emotional health, like all of it. And I guess like what brought me up from the ashes was like finding my interest in criminology and like finding my passion for forensic science. I really wanted to initially like get out of Los Angeles and go to college like somewhere far away. So my junior to senior year, I signed up for like, a program at the University of Miami for like a month. So I'd be like, okay, bye home. Like, I don't need to be around any of this shit anymore. So I kind of like packed my bags and like left, but I was still in that relationship when I left and I came back, not in that relationship anymore. Like we broke up.
Blessing, I'm sure.
It was a blessing in disguise. We broke up when I was at that program, like over FaceTime, like of all things, like I was at like one of the most important programs of my life, like dictating my like college future and like where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And like, it was kind of like the one thing that would like solidify my future or solidify like my future path. And it kind of got like hiccuped in the middle because he didn't want to be in a relationship anymore.
Such a blessing though that it happened, and it probably even honed you more on your path and all.
No, it did. It like it.
You don't see it in the moment.
No, it was true. Like it forced me. Like I made the best friends I will ever make in my life, and they live on your coast in New Jersey. So, I'm like more than thankful that we broke up when I was there, because like my friends like dragged my ass out of bed. Like they were like, you need to eat. You need
that
to
mean I get food. To get you on West East Coast at some point.
hopefully at some point. Yes. But, I like, they really just like the friends I made over like a month. Like I could never like thank them enough for just like pushing me to like throw myself into school and like throw myself into the program and like just get out of my shell and like stop sulking. And then by the time I got home, I guess I was just like in such better headspace that I was like, I'm a bad bitch. Like I can do all this stuff, like whatever, like fuck men. Like I don't need this anymore. And like, I guess other people started to pick up on that energy and like I started to attract more positive people and like hence like why like my boyfriend and I are together. Like I met him randomly, like just out of the blue, like at one of his like fraternity's like tailgates that I went to for like a game day with my parents or something like that. And I just like started to attract like such more positive people and it made my life like so much better. Mm-hmm. And I started to slowly like wean the people from high school out and just like really more like focus on myself and like be unapologetically me. And like, that's really what brought me out of my like rut and like finding someone who like loved me when I was like at my like most like sassy, like flaunty, whatever, you know, like just finding someone who like embraced that, but also like embraced the part of me that like just wants to like viciously like love somebody else and like viciously like just give my all to somebody else, but also want like the same in return. And yeah. I don't know, just putting that energy out there just really like it came back to me. And I don't want to say like I believe in karma, but like it kind of just was like a right place, like right kind of mentality at the right time, you know. Yep. And everything just started to fall into place.
So what does this look like now for you? What is healthy? What does your organization look like? What's your grassroots? Where do you want to see this go? And what are your visions for your future and for the future of just sexual assault?
So I am currently at community college for 1 year for my freshman year, and I'm transferring to hopefully to USC in my fall, starting fall 2021.
So that's Southern California, because us people over here think it's South Carolina.
Yeah, Southern California, not South Carolina. Yes, yes, yes. So I am like, I'm taking this year to kind of just like work on a path to courage, build it a little more. And then hopefully once I'm at USC, and if not USC, then another university or of my choosing or et cetera, et cetera.
I'll be able to. Georgia.
Be able to just like throw myself into my school and meeting people like me and just getting more advocates like on campus like for sexual assault, and kind of just not only like putting, I guess, like obviously like a Path to Courage's name out there, but like also like networking with like other organizations like that already like have existing chapters on campus, and like maybe merging a Path to Courage with that, or I don't know, maybe in the future having a Path to Courage like be something like having chapters, or have it be more of like a university centered kind of you know, team centered platform. And for
your platform look like now? Is it just awareness
for the college? Yeah. I would say like it's awareness, but it's also like personal in a way. Like I host events. I try to do one once a month, or I try to do something big like once a month. Like last month I did a holiday giveaway. So I got some cool like women empowerment things, and I made some of Path to Courage like face masks because of COVID, and just to try to get some engagement and like give back to people who have been supporting me as well. And I try to do like an event once a month for around like 20 minutes to an hour, where I pick a topic and like I talk about it and like everything that's like important about it. Or so I would say the last one I did was for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I talked about my domestic violence story kind of like for the first time on my platform, because it was more focused around like sexual assault. So I kind of merged those two ideas together now. And I did one about how I moved out for a couple weeks into an apartment by USC, Southern California. and I moved out for a couple weeks, but I was on medication and I had a hiccup in my medication, and I had a really bad experience moving out. And like, I talked about that and how that affected me and how I decided to move home in the end. And I talked about like
real life, putting in the real life work and letting
talking about what it's like being in college and trying to like make friends during COVID and like, you know, like things about things like that, not only just, I guess, centered around being a survivor, but kind of like what it, just my path, I guess, of how I'm building myself and like changing and meeting new people and finding new interests. And yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your other nonprofit you work with, the Shiros. And then
yes, so I work,
how to find you too.
So I work with Shiros Rise. It's a nonprofit started by Sonali Bridges, who's actually a college education counselor. She was my kind of mentor, counselor, et cetera, et cetera. Like I ended up babysitting her kids. Like she is amazing. And then she ended up starting Shiros Rise. I have like the incredible privilege to be able to sit on a board with like powerhouse women, like amazing, strong ass, badass women. And I'm like 18 years old sitting there like, oh my God, I can't articulate a sentence like that, like freaking out. Like these women are great. I'm so honored to like be a part of this. And they, essentially it's to inspire young girls and women from underserved communities to dismantle habitually negative messaging, discriminatory practices, and systematically limited resources that they are surrounded by. So Shiros Rise really is going to work to like, we built a curriculum and we're really working to like educate girls in different age groups. So we have, I think, three different sections going all the way up to ages 18 and 19. And I believe starting from ages 5 of kind of just like what it means to be a girl and like what it means to be a woman and kind of just give that mentorship and give that like love to other women who like don't have the like all girls education that like I came from, where like feminism is like our curriculum. It's like just another outlet for like girls to be able to have like a youth group with a curriculum, obviously. So it's, I'm super honored to be a part of it. And I'm really excited to see what kind of work they're also going to do and how A Path to Courage can merge into Shiros Rise and vice versa.
Or that you can merge into, I mean, like, I think I listen to the Shiros and I'm like, all right, how do we merge you guys into our trafficking center out here and into that kind of work? Because we need it across the country.
No, so yeah, exactly.
How do our listeners find you?
So
I think after this, you're going to get a lot more followers.
I really hope. I'm trying to expand. I mean, like, I had my platform as like me, as like Sophie H. Pollock, and then it became too much trying to have A Path to Courage be on Sophie H. Pollock. So I just completely like blindsided everyone and like switched it over. And I lost so many followers because people were like, this girl's not a model anymore, unfollow, like all that kind of stuff. But my handle is at A Path to Courage for Instagram.
And that's the number 2, right?
Yes, at A Path 2, like the number 2. That's because my birthday is 02-02-02. So I made it A Path 2, Courage, to try to make it a little more personal. And Shiros Rise is also at Shiros Rise, just on Instagram.
S in front of it.
Yeah. Yeah. S-H-E-R-O-S Rise. Yeah. Shiros Rise. And then, I'm reachable by email as well. It's just sophiepollock@gmail.com. So my name, my first and last name @gmail.com.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I know sometimes Tara and I get questions in our forum, so we may be leading people down for you to answer.
Oh yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome. Well, I cannot thank you enough and for having the courage to be out there and talk about such a horrific, traumatic event and how you've turned it into something so beautiful and wonderful. I think also, though, I want to remind our viewers is that you can still have a horrific, traumatic event and you may not have to get huge, big in public. It's whatever gets you healed, but to get to that place. But to see where you can go from a very dark place to something so beautiful. And it's just, you're incredibly inspiring. And it just makes me so pumped that you're 18 and you have your whole future ahead of you. And it gets me really excited about what our future looks like.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm just like listening in awe. I can't even like do anything else because I'm just like staring at
you. I was not Sophie at 18.
I'm still not Sophie. But anyways,
can we be you when you grow up, please?
I think a lot of it though is like you don't realize too, like when you start and. The whole reason for this platform, that's why we called it Just Ask, because it's like when you start talking about this kind of thing, you'll be amazed like what resources are out there. People have done this before. They've been down your path and like they can help you. They can walk you through it. They can tell you their experiences, how they rose above and, you know, how they found that inner something that got them out of the bed to finally say, okay, I'm not going to live like this. I can heal from this. And so I think that is just the first step is sort of to just hearing other people and knowing that, you know, you're not alone out there. So, and that's kind of one of the things that we push for this, you know,
whole platform,
advocating for yourself. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you so much, Sophie. This has been so great.
This has been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
Absolutely.
For reaching out and for knowing my mother.
Good to know people. Well, we hope that everybody learned something new today, or at least started to drum up or stem up some questions or some, you know, information or and to follow a path to courage and Shiro's rise and knowing that, you know, there's people out there who are advocating for this particular type of thing, no matter what age you are. From the, you know, youngest, and it doesn't even have to be females. It can be males too. And everyone in between. So make sure you follow Sophie. We'll also post everything here so that you can see it visually, but we thank you so much and hope that everyone joins us next month and we will see everyone then. Heather, do you have any closing comments?
Nope. Just thank you so much for the support and this being our second season, give us some love and share us away so that we can increase our platform too and get the word out there.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you guys. Y'all stay tuned. And
thanks for listening to the Just Ask podcast. And thank you for our amazing panelists today and every day. Feel free to contact us publicly or privately with your questions and thoughts. We do not provide medical advice, but we can point you in the right direction and provide resources. You can learn more about the topics we've discussed in this episode by viewing the show notes for this podcast and following us at Just Ask ATL on Facebook and Instagram. Our podcast is available on all of your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. Please make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. If you found value in this discussion, please share this podcast with friends or leave a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening. We can't wait for you to join us for the next show.